What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
In the Caribbean, Hurricane Melissa is also set to and has already caused damage to Haiti, a country already struggling with famine, poverty, violent gang, and a corrupt and violent government. Here to discuss is Pierre Labassier, who grew up in Haiti and co-founded the Haiti Action Committee. In 1990, he lives in Oakland and is heavily involved in solidarity work with Haiti, including webinars and protests. He's heavily involved in all kinds of solidarity work, which is how I know this, brother.
Thank you
for coming to the show, Pierre. It's always good to hear your voice, and now because we're doing this on YouTube, I get to see your face, which is
indeed my pleasure. Quite a bonus for me to see you.
It's just because I find time to put on a face before I better go on, otherwise it'd be very scary. Pierre, what are you hearing about the conditions on the ground in Haiti in terms of the impact of the hurricane already?
Yes, what I've heard is that there are at least 3 people who've been killed. There are 6 injured. The hurricane from up to now has not hit Haiti. It hasn't been a direct hit, but it's part of it, you know, on the outer edge that has just dumped a lot of rainfall, caused a lot of flooding, destroyed fields, crops, gardens, livestock, and as also a number of houses were destroyed, also the winds, even on the outer edge. So it's caused quite a bit of devastation, particularly the southern part of Haiti. And also from what I hear in the center of the central part of the country, some parts of the Artibonite, which is a very rich area, rich agricultural area, and a part of the north as well, the northwest of Haiti as well.
One of the things I was talking about with my last guest, we were talking about the impact on Jamaica, is the topography / geography of the region, as well as the types of structures, particularly that of housing. Can you describe for people what the average home for a Haitian is built out of, looks like, and its vulnerability to a storm of this magnitude?
Yes, definitely. Some of the houses parts are built out of wood. Some are, you know, you have also a number of structures made of concrete, but mostly for the majority population, it's wood and cinder blocks. People are very poor, so they don't really have the money to spend on reinforced concrete and what have you. So they do what they can in terms of cinder blocks and that kind of stuff and wooden structures. So that I've heard also there's a lot of landslides because Haiti is very hilly. And one of the problems is that the deforestation that has occurred over the many years, and unfortunately many times they blame the Haitian peasants, but it hasn't been the case. It's been all a legacy of colonialism, where a lot of the forest in Haiti was deforested, coupled with the U.S. occupation of Haiti for 19 years and continuing, which created a lot of deforestation because Haiti was actually shipping, they were cutting down the woods, the precious timber in Haiti as part of the payment to France. And later on, that payment was taken over by the U.S., so this was in the form of repaying. So our forests were completely destroyed, most of them. And so we are dealing with the effect of a ground, of a soil that's not really protected. And so when you have this kind of monster storm and with heavy rainfall, even though it hasn't hit Haiti directly, but how the impact of that rainfall really leads to landslides, and people are being destroyed by their economy, and everything else is quite a hit. And it's been going on because it's very slow moving, you see. So it's been sitting there, and the outer edge as well. So it's been just drenching the place.
Yeah, I don't want us to talk inside baseball, and I know my listeners are very smart, but still, when we talk about payment to France and the United States, what are we talking about?
We are talking about when Haiti became independent in 1804, our foremothers and forefathers kidnapped from Africa and enslaved, rose up against slavery, and after 13-year war, destroyed the armies of Napoleon that he had sent there to, and also Britain and Spain were trying to take the place of the French, and they too were defeated by the armies led by Jean-Jacques Dessalines and Toussaint Louverture, the armies of formerly enslaved Africans, who, by the way, were people who were engineers and doctors in Africa, architects, many of them were military, had served in the military of Dahomey and of the various African nations and kingdoms. And so they were quite experienced in struggle. And so they defeated those forces. And about 25, 21 years later, the French, along with the US, Britain, Spain, they demanded that Haiti pay reparations to the plantation owners. So those people who had stolen the land of the indigenous people and enslaved our people and worked us, in the words of Malcolm X, from can't see in the morning till can't see at night, now were demanding that we repay them because we took our freedom. And so this was the equivalent in today's money. President Aristide demanded that the French repay us that money in 2003. And at that time, we Haiti had to pay them 90 million gold francs, which, when it was calculated in 2003, came to about $22 billion, roughly. And he demanded that money, which was the reason for the French and the U.S. to do a coup d'etat against him. Because, you see, this was a strong reparations, and it was just not rhetoric either. He had actually taken steps to take them to court, to the world court, to force France to repay this money. And so the U.S. knew it, had participated in this as well. And so it was trying to, it joined with the French to silence this voice. So they put in a lackey government that said after the coup, that said Haiti didn't owe France any money. But right now, the French government itself has admitted that what they did was wrong and that they owe Haiti. But it's not just this money. The number of economists, it's not just this amount of $21.7 billion. A number of economists have talked about it, they have recalculated it, and they have put in other monies. For example, the Eiffel Tower. Every time you look at the Eiffel Tower, know that Haitian money went into the construction of the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is a major money maker for our friends to this day. So some of the economists are saying we have to factor that in as well. So some of them have estimated that the amount is closer to $115 billion. And these are French economists, US, Haitian economists, all of them have put their heads together. So that's what we are talking about. So in other words, money that should have been invested in the infrastructure of the country was going to France, was going to the US. And so that's what we are talking about. Also, Haiti had gold reserves that in 1914, the U.S. sent a detachment of Marines working with a lackey government in Haiti to take our gold reserves, take it and bring it in the vaults of what is today Citibank. And so, so the ripping off of the country has made the country so vulnerable to everything that, so that, when you have a monster hurricane like that, the infrastructure in Haiti that should have helped the country withstand that or recover from it or protect its people from its impact, Haiti is always vulnerable every time, every year. We live in an environment when we should be able to protect ourselves or at least to recover from this, just like Cuba does and other countries in the region. But unfortunately, because of this, we have a government that's a do-nothing government. They are lackey government put in there by the U.S., France, Canada, and the so-called core group, which is an association of about nine entities, five former colonial countries, and four international organizations. They are the ones who call the day-to-day shots regarding Haiti.
Yeah, talk. So Haiti, to your point, Haiti suffers from, or experiences, I'm not going to say the word suffers. Haiti experiences lots of natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, right? I mean, those of us that have a certain age have watched the country repeatedly be devastated. What I want you to talk about is the resilience of the Haitian people.
Indeed, indeed. You know, I was talking to a cousin of mine, and we were remembering our childhood way back. You were not born yet.
Yesterday.
So that was in 1964 when there was a major, I lived through that hurricane, was called Cleo, and it devastated the south of Haiti, particularly my hometown, Lekai. But the place was rebuilt within a matter of years, so that by 1968, 4 years later, the city of Lekai, the third largest city, had regained its footing and was flourishing again. It was done by Haitians. Haitians were producing in their own economy, and they rebuilt. There was money and food sent by foreign countries in the immediate aftermath of the hurricane, but that money was stolen, and that food, I witnessed how that food was left to rot because the governor of Papa Doc Duvalier wanted to sell it to the people were already too poor, they couldn't afford it. So that food was left to rot, and it was housed, warehoused in a, close to my own home. And the stench was so bad that my father and other people in the neighborhood demanded that the mayor just dump this thing, and because it was the, so they would rather let it rot because people couldn't afford it, you see? But the people came together and they rebuilt my hometown so that 4 years later, it was functioning, movie theaters, bands and everything. And as a teenager at the time, I was having a lot of fun, you know? So we were not relying on foreign largesse to the economy, the people were producing and taking care. And so this is part of the resilience of our people. When I look at the earthquake of the 2010 earthquake that took place, it's been estimated that $13 billion, some people say $16 billion, were raised for Haiti. And this money didn't make its way into the hands of the Haitian people. It was stolen. The Clinton-Bush Foundation has a lot to account for. And so many others, so many big NGOs have a lot to account for. And to this day, there has been no accounting. Who has rebuilt Haiti or made a living? The people of Haiti, the very poor, have organized themselves and really rebuilt what they had lost during that period. So it's also, we have to talk about the man-made disasters. As the people are rebuilding, then you have the so-called, again, the core group and foreign entities, the U.S. and others, have unleashed on Haiti this criminal gang called Vivre Ensemble, or the G9. These are, in the press, they call them the gangs, as if they are not connected politically. No, they are... how should I say it? They are really a paramilitary death squads connected with the Haitian government to break the spirit and the resistance of the Haitian people, to force, because people are demanding reparations and restitution from France. This is an ongoing campaign. People have mobilized and formed and are demanding, they have a campaign called Mental Decolonization. This is named after a book that President Aristide had written for mental decolonization, demanding that Haiti, that the Haitian people take back control of their own countries so that our mineral resources, which abound in Haiti and which are being stolen by the multinational corporations, so that those resources can be used by the Haitian people to create a better life for all of us. But they want to take it. They want for nothing. And so by unleashing this paramilitary death squad, they are terrorizing the population so that people are not able to stand up. People are terrorized. What they have built, people have rebuilt Haiti. The very poor have rebuilt their homes that were destroyed by the earthquake, by the various hurricanes. But now you have these paramilitary death squads going around and setting fire to all the houses that the poor have rebuilt through hard, hard sacrifices. See, and this is what's happening. So all of this, for example, I mentioned the Artibonite, which is a very fertile, the most fertile agricultural region of Haiti. Just last week, those paramilitary death squads have gone through the rice fields of Haiti and set fire to them and have chased the peasants, who are actually the hard-working peasant farmers who are feeding Haiti, have chased them away. Why? Because they want Haiti to be importing rice. Haiti used to be self-sufficient in rice production from the Artibonite region alone. And now Haiti is the fourth largest importer of rice coming from the U.S., you see? So basically, that's what they see our peasant farmers as competition. And the people, that little ruling elite that brings in the rice, they don't want our people who are producing the rice from being to be a competition, to be competitors to them. So the thing is, they are financing those so-called gangs. They are arming them with weapons coming from the U.S., and they are destroying our people's ability to produce, so that everything will be purchased by the Haitian people. So that's what I call the destruction of a nation. But our people are very resilient, as you mentioned. They are building, even though others, this little clique is trying to destroy, but they are determined to rebuild, and they are defending their communities as best they can with rocks, bottles, sticks, machetes, whatever they have, against machine guns, against the power of this. You see, and many Haitians are laughing when they see that the Trump administration has put a bounty on the head of one of the so-called gang leaders. I hate the term gang, paramilitary death squad leaders. His name is Barbecue, or Jimmy Cherizier, a former policeman trained by the UN and the US occupation forces. Well, a bounty is not needed. You see, people in Haiti are saying, look, this is all theater, because they know where the man stays. He stays right there in Port-au-Prince. He frequently makes videos of himself. He frequently calls press conferences. Many of them have gone around as a convoy. They announced it. They go and visit each other, the leaders of the various death squads. They go in each other's pool, having parties, and they make it very public. And yet no action is taken, you see? So Haitians say that this is for international consumption, for people who do not know about Haiti, that they are trying to fool with this kind of stuff. So these are the many problems that confront us, and the many challenges, and that we are determined to, together, the people united will be able to fight back and to overcome and to win, coupled with international solidarity. So your support, Kat, the support of other people who are in solidarity with us, who are telling the truth, telling it like it is, and putting pressure to shut the flow of weapons into Haiti, will be a tremendous help for us to overcome these death squads and this oppressive system that is crushing our brothers and sisters in Haiti.
Well, you know, you got me. Whatever the call is, I am there till I take my last breath. Pierre Labassie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always an inspiration to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Kat. All the very best, sis.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.